what happened last night? So Fargo City Commission meeting, and there was it was item 44 on the agenda. A lot of people were kind of listening, having a conversation, and let's get the broad overview first and kind of what happened.
So, and I'll have Chandler jump in if we needed. You know, over this winter, we did provide winter respite overnight. And so those that are unhoused had the opportunity to be able to be in a warm place during that winter time frame. That ended the end of April. And so knowing that option was going away, I think we all anticipated we would maybe see that uptick in that unhoused or homeless camping. And so, you know, as we've seen that uptick, we've also heard feedback from residents. And then we also had the river coming up, which shifted the location of where those camps were. And so we understand that for our community and for communities across the United States, this is a very challenging issue that we're all looking at how to address. And there isn't one thing that can fix it. There's no silver bullet. And so administration, working with harm reduction, along with our metro leaders, we are looking at what tools can we find to help us address the unhoused citizens that we have here in Fargo.
So as far as I'm aware, there were three things put forward for commissioners to consider, and nothing was officially signed. There's nothing like official policy right now, is my understanding.
That is correct. So the first conversation was actually 2 weeks ago when Commissioner Kolpeck had put a memo to commission and had asked for administration to come back with some discussion points of what are some paths that we could move forward. I do feel having James Matthey come last week was a great, you know, reset. You know, he was back here in February, and we've been diligently working and trying to work forward on what the right answer is for Fargo. We started another outreach group, and so we've done some things. We've got, you're able to report if you do see a homeless camp or an unhoused individual, you can now report it on Fargo One. We do have some internal mapping. So since he's been here, we've done some internal things, but now we are really at a point now that we need to talk about this with our leaders of, okay, we've done some things internally with what we have at our fingertips to use. What are the next steps you want to see us looking at?
And those next three steps for what?
And so one of the things is right now, if there is no, well, I guess the first thing is can we look at a pilot project to start looking at how could we start housing some of our unhoused and use our housing first philosophy? So that's really our first thing. But in the meantime, we know we have unhoused that we don't have housing or shelter for. And so how do we manage that? And so can we put some guide rails on that? Which would be right now, if we aren't allowing camping, the only option we have is to trespass. And then we're criminalizing that camping on public property, where if we would do an ordinance of no camping, it would be a fine, a misdemeanor. And so it's decriminalizing that action. And then also putting in some expectations. And what could those expectations look like? And we want feedback from our leadership. And, you know, we're also looking at, within our next presentation, we'll be looking at how do we get some public input on what that should look like too. And so we'll be looking at garnering some feedback also from the public.
It sounded like it looked like you had something you wanted to say in regard to.
Nope.
Maybe not, but.
Well, just echoing, you know, what Brenda said, what tools do we have in our toolbox to just help manage the situation that we find ourselves in while we are ramping up towards the opportunities and pathways to housing? And so, like Brenda mentioned, the city doesn't currently have an ordinance that allows or disallows public camping. And so by having this ordinance on the books with some specific parameters by resolution that would allow our unhoused population to exist, that in essence does decriminalize those homeless camps as long as they're following the terms of the resolution.
Because right now, currently, if somebody did want to go in and start charging people to trespass, it would be criminal, or they'd be charged criminally for doing that. Correct. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So overall, broad scopes, it's my understanding this new initiative moving forward as well. Help me understand what that looks like.
Our new program, so it is called our Homeless Engagement Assistance Response Team. I do supervise this program and our mobile outreach program. This was created because our mobile outreach program, they try to spend as much time as they are able to downtown, but as we've seen, they are pulled away from that area for transports to local hospitals or detox centers, or wherever they are needed. So we needed to find something to be able to respond to calls more predictably. So this is where this team was created, and also in addition to what James Matthew, when he was here in February, to respond to those calls. So we work closely with the downtown businesses. This team is on foot, so that's a little bit different than the mobile outreach program. So connecting with folks who are in a crisis, or someone who is experiencing working with someone with a crisis, this team is able to respond to those calls. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff.
I guess help me understand the difference between like mobile outreach and kind of what your goals and priorities really lie.
So the goals of this program is, trying to connect with whomever is experiencing that crisis, whereas mobile outreach is to respond to calls that are directly to substance use related crises, whereas this one is someone who just looks like they need some support from us. So that could be with someone that is just downtown that our staff are trained to triage these phone calls and work with those folks.
Yeah. So resources given to you guys for this process, I imagine it was complicated to get to that point, but what do you guys have on staff for that?
So currently right now we have 3 full-time staff that are able to respond to these calls. We work closely with local partners around the area to be trained in these resources. We work with the Downtown Engagement Center, other outreach partners as well. So if we come across someone who is a little bit younger, like Youth Works and SSRC as well.
Mobile outreach more focuses on the substance use side of it. This focuses more on the mental health side. How much, what results do you expect to see from, more focus on the mental health side, more focus on providing more assistance for them?
Costly response team with like having like FPD involved as well. This team is going to be focused, and we've also seen that this team can respond to those calls, and it's more natural, instead of having that more of those calls like the police and all of those things, that they may not respond naturally as someone is like they know us, and in when they are experiencing that mental health crisis, it goes a different way.
Mm-hmm.
More positive, as I would say.
Different response teams can elicit different responses for sure. Intimidation versus not, and a wide variety of factors.
Absolutely.
So I guess where we're going from here, because I know that at the commission meeting last night, there's a 4-1 vote in regards to at least begin the process moving forward with discussions on this. How do you guys feel after that vote? What was the kind of the initial thought behind that, Chandler?
Well, I think, just being given the opportunity to dive deeper into what a pilot project looks like is a win for us. The ultimate goal is to move people into permanent housing. And so knowing that we did have commission support to make a plan and come back to them and present some of those ideas in the future is a real big step forward. Mm-hmm. In just, again, creating those pathways to permanent housing for the folks who are the most vulnerable.
It's my understanding there was a move before really commissioner approval on some things, kind of like getting a sentiment saying, hey, would it be okay if we were to do something like this among with unhoused individuals? There's conversations, is my understanding of how that went. And was that a risky move to ask questions like that and then present it to the commission?
Can you maybe rephrase the question understand. A little bit?
So, I'm trying to follow. So, Brenda, it's my understanding that you stated at the commission meeting that you went forward without commission approval to ask without commissioner approval to ask questions to members of the community regarding this proposal, the Housing First proposal.
No.
Okay. Then no. I must have misheard something.
Okay. So one of the things we did talk about last night would be, I can't remember who asked the question, but we did talk about, even though they have not blessed expectations of campers, as the outreach team has visited with campers, mm-hmm. we've started internally trying to say, you need to be making sure that your camp is clean. And so we have been doing some of those things, gotcha. Although we have not taken those expectations through the steps of approval yet. So those might change, they may expand. Gotcha. So that would be the only thing that I remember that we talked about, that although we have not taken it through a process yet through leadership, we have been having some discussions.
And that's why we have these conversations to clarify things.
I think too, you know, one of the pieces we pointed out were the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness best practices for addressing camps. And one of those things is engaging camp residents to develop solutions. And so the outreach team, in meeting with the people who are camping outside, talking about, you know, what support would you need in order to be successful in maintaining a clean camp? What would support look like to you? How can we, you know, best achieve those pathways into housing? That's what we were trying to do, is make sure that we're able to provide the support that folks need, and that also we have some expectations of them, so we can have consensus on what safety kind of looks like for everyone. And so getting that feedback from the campers is a crucial part of ensuring that we're approaching this in an appropriate way.
One of the things I believe you guys talked about as well, I'm couching my statements now because I made a mistake there. One of the things moving forward is my understanding you guys talked or are looking to talk with realtors in the area to bring forward this master housing plan. Is that still in kind of development stages, or what are we looking at?
So we're very much still just in the planning phase, just draft of what a pilot project could look like. But certainly if we are going to move people into permanent housing, we would need partnerships with local property managers to identify units throughout the community that would be a good fit for the people that we're trying to serve. And so we think about this as a scattered site approach, a little bit different than kind of more project-based housing, where many people who are experiencing a housing crisis live in one location. We'd be able to find units throughout the community where people would be able to then gain that housing stability. And that's really a best practice. It's one of the core tenets of Housing First.
The benefit of doing a scattershot of this versus one single core building, what is the benefit of that?
So it allows for more client choice. So when people have a little bit of self-determination over where they live, they tend to have a greater housing stability. We're also able to help identify locations where there are resources available, perhaps transportation close by, grocery stores, things like that, so people can get their basic needs met. And again, just that embedding client choice as much as possible just increases the success rate for people who are moving into permanent housing.
Where are we now in regards to what we have to do to move forward? Because I know that Commissioner Kolpak made a statement and said, hey, I completely support what we're doing here, but we had to keep in mind there's a city budget to also balance. And I know that was pretty much echoed. I know Mayor Mahoney echoed those comments. Pepcorn had his own separate individual comments, but we can get there another time. But what is that feel like? Because it sounds like you have support, but not, you obviously don't have the entire city budget, which I don't think you guys would ever expect that. But what does that feel like to have support, but not all the things you would need to complete the mission?
So I think I'll jump in on this one. I think really this was the step one of multiple steps, right? And so now it's time for us to kind of start expanding on, this was extremely high level of what it could look like. Now, you know, putting pen to paper, how do we get into those more detailed of what would the costs look like associated with it, and what kind of funding mechanism would we even need?
Yeah.
And so really, I mean, last night was really, are we on the right track? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with the direction we're going? And what we got back is, yep, keep moving. Mm-hmm. And so really, that's what we needed to keep moving forward.
Fair to say, it's a pilot project. It's not, you're not going to get everything you need right away, it sounds like.
Correct. And it might be a basis for, you know, whether we want to try and see if the state has more funding. If we can show improved success here, then maybe we can find some different funding mechanisms.
And the goal, as of now, or very early stages pilot project, I understand that. The goal is looking at that, where are we looking to get? I know that there's a 50% number thrown in there somewhere that talk about that. I know Strand commented on that at some point as well.
So based on outreach that our team has been able to do, if we were able to move 10 people who are currently living outside unsheltered into permanent housing, we estimate that would decrease the unsheltered population along the river by 50%. And so, you know, one of the things that we think about a lot is, you know, the lack of availability of shelter in the community. And that's really because we don't have proper outflow into permanent housing. And so what we're trying to do is create that pathway into permanent housing so that shelter availability does ultimately increase. We can meet the needs of our entire community by just ensuring that people are moving into housing as quickly as possible, because that is the solution to homelessness.
Anything else that we haven't discussed in regards to this project and what happened yesterday in regards to City Commission? I know that James Matthew being up here was a huge shot in the arm too when it came to prioritizing focus and stuff. But is there anything else in regards to that conversation you wanted to bring up?
Reiterating that it's a metro-wide, and it's not just like we aren't the only ones that are going to make this successful.
Yeah, it's not just Fargo, to be fair.
No, it's a metro. It's a metro. I'm trying to think of the right words, but we're working on it metro with our metro leaders, and they are engaged and having discussions also. So they mean that's been really a positive experience.
When you say engaged, Moorhead, West Fargo, Horace.
Moorhead and West Fargo,
And then the counties
as well. Cass County, yep.
Okay. Anything else we missed on that side as well?
I think we're just grateful to have the opportunity to continue to explore these different options for our community. As we've kind of been talking about, you know, there are no throwaway people in our community. And if we want things to improve, we do have to take specific strategic action. And so that's really what we're hoping to do, is deploy these best practices that we know work in order to make a big dent on this issue and just improve the quality of life and well-being for everyone in our community. We will all benefit if we're able to resolve this issue.
I do want to ask one more question, or this might be another line of questions, we'll see. The transformation, so like, I started working and covering this topic probably about 2.5-3 years ago, and I think you and I were one of the first conversations we had on this topic, Chandler, and this is really interesting to kind of see like a transformation and like approach to where we're talking about a specific plan that's been developed in other states. We're talking about housing first, and we're seeing like genuine progress towards that. How does that feel on your side?
You know, I think that we have an incredible legacy in our community of people who have been committed long-term to people experiencing homelessness. And it is because of many people who have championed that cause over several decades now that we are in the position that we're in now, where we can have these really fruitful conversations about what works. And so I think I have so much gratitude for all of our community partners and everybody who's had a role to play in getting us to this point. And I think we're all excited and hopeful about where this momentum will continue to carry us. And I just couldn't be more grateful for our community showing up to participate in these conversations, because it does take all of us working together in order to achieve the success that I think we all want. And it's been a long time coming, and nobody feels that more acutely than the people who are living outside.
Mayor Mahoney said that a previous effort, and I think it was the early 2000s, failed because there wasn't a champion. Is Fargo Castle Public Health willing to be that champion?
And did it fail?
Yeah, so
it didn't sustain. Yeah. It didn't move on to the effort that it kind of sounds like it's moving towards now.
You know, I think public health and the harm reduction division will always have a role to play in addressing this issue. I really do see the city as our champion right now because of the support that we've received, and that's required in order to be successful. I think I forgot the other part of the question.
So sustaining the pressure.
Oh, yes, and, like, the initial going home plan. Yeah, so... you know, the way I feel about the going home plan is that it really was a plan ahead of its time. It had such a strong foundation and such a clear approach of housing first that I think that was actually crucial in getting us to this, the point we're in now, because we had that foundation for over a decade of really trying to influence the utilization of that approach. So, you know, I don't think that it was a failure. I think it was instrumental in getting us to where we are now.
And it sounds like you had something to maybe say on that, too.
I'm trying to think.
How we've taken what was planned from that 2006 plan and incorporated it. And
I think, yeah, Chandler hit all of it.
Great.
There were many things that we got through that plan that have been instrumental in just meeting the needs of our community. The Gladys Ray Shelter, for example, came out of that. There was some unique mental health teams created at Southeast that were a recommendation of that plan. So there were so many great elements of that plan that were implemented. Mm-hmm. And now we're just kind of making good on going home.
Yeah, maybe it is a mischaracterization of a failure. But I do know that Mayor Mahoney has said that we didn't have a champion, kind of like how we need one to kind of keep the pressure and kind of keep this as front of mind. Do you think that pressure will maintain going forward?
I would say through administration, the leadership, I mean, we need to continue to have those discussions. And so do we have a single champion?
And I'm not necessarily asking for a name. I guess I'm asking for a mindset or more, like something like that. Yeah.
But I think we all understand the importance, and we're all working towards that goal. Mm-hmm.